I love it how the Bible doesn't hide anything. Everything, yeah, all the dirty stuff is out there in the open. You know, Jesus never hid anything, none of the stories, none of the kings, none of the apostles, you know, none of the undercoating stuff that we try to hide so much with being self-righteous. You know, we try to be self-righteous and hide all that stuff. In the Word of God, I mean, it just cuts right to the chase, and it just exposes all of the things that we need to be open and alive in our heart. You know, just really willing to be honest before God and allow God to do work in us, but He won't do it until we're honest about it. And so, I like it as how it starts here in verse 38, Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. You may have to flip over one more page. Now it happened as they went, he entered into a village to a certain woman named Martha, and she welcomed her into his house. And she had a sister named Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Let's stop right there. Mary and Martha, you see them over and over in Scripture. They're actually mentioned three other times. You can see them throughout the Gospels, but three particular times. You'll see them at next week as we look at Lazarus' tomb. We'll see them there, Mary and Martha, and we'll see the same thing that Martha comes up to Jesus, and she's all in a panic, and she's talking about this, and Mary, she's back with the mourners and the weepers at the house, and we'll look at that next week, and you'll see how her heart's really concerned about deep things, and Mary's heart's really concerned about getting things done. Or Mark, do I have that backwards? I may have. Mary, I'm horrible with names, so if I get these names mixed up, please just bear with me. Martha was the worker. Mary was the relaxer. Okay, so Mary was chilling at the house as her brother had passed on. She was there with the mourners. And Martha comes out. She leaves the house, and she comes out, and she meets Jesus on the road. And we'll look at that. So that's one of the times that you see her. We also see Mary at another time, as she anoints Jesus with a very expensive spikenard, a very expensive anointing oil. And we'll look at that the week after, as Mary pours out this her life's value. You know, all of her cash. These things were very expensive in that day. And so those are the two times that you see Mary and Martha through Scripture. But where Luke is talking about here, we see the two different types of ladies, the two different types of people. And these are the same two types of people that are throughout America today that are here in our church. We got workers. We work. And then we got some other folks that, you know, they just kind of chill out and chill around the feet of Jesus. And they just more into the Word. And not that the folks that labor aren't into the Word, but there's a difference between that. There's a time for work. And there's a time for relaxing. There's a time for study. And then there's a time that you got to get busy and do things. And so we're going to look at that today. The difference, the worry in Martha's heart was really the problem. As we read on in the Scripture, Martha owned the house. Mary was just there as her sister. And she had a sister called Mary in 39. And Mary sat at Jesus' feet, and she heard his word. Martha was distracted with much serving. She approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." How often do we do that? I mean, you know, you think that you're the only person doing any work, you know? Oh, geez, man, I'm doing this. I'm working here. I'm doing the other. And I look around and nobody else seems to be helping. Nothing seems to be getting done unless I'm doing it. But is that a truth? No, not really. Mary had her things to do, too. I'm sure there was daily chores that Mary did all the time. Martha here at this particular time, she was preparing to entertain one of her good friends, Jesus. And as she was entertaining, she was just over consumed with this desire to get things done and get things just perfect and just set in a certain way, you know. The table had to be set just perfect, and the napkins had to be just perfect, and all the glasses, and, you know, like six or seven different types of silverware. Have you ever been to a place where they give you that? You get like a big fork, a medium fork, a small fork, a butter knife, a sharp knife, and then this other weird looking knife I guess that's the butter knife, the one that bends. You know, anyhow, and there's two or three different types of spoons. And so I'm sure Martha was making sure that all of those things were all set out just the way they needed to be. All neat, cut, pretty, prim, trim. And she was probably pressed for time, you know, because she knew that the time for eating was coming up, you know, and she didn't have all these things done. And so she comes to Jesus because that's where her sister is, chilling out at the feet of Jesus. You know, Jesus talking to her, and Mary's just chilling there, and, you know, her sister's in the background rattling dishes. I know when me and my sisters, this just came to me, so hold on just a second. I love my mom to death, but she didn't do many chores. Okay, she made sure that we did all the chores, which was not horrible. But, you know, when things had to get done, my sisters would be doing something, I'd be doing something different, you know. And if I wasn't doing what they thought I ought to be doing, what would they do? They would come and say, "Mom, Curtis is sitting on his desk and he's not doing anything. Make him come help me." You know, and I'm sure that happens in every household. It still happens today. Now, it wasn't that I wasn't doing anything. It's just I wasn't doing anything productive. You know, I wasn't doing anything to help the process along, you know. What I was doing, I thought was pretty cool. I was probably reading a Marvel comic book or listening to Pink Floyd or something like that, you know. I was doing my thing, which wasn't actually helping anything. But to me, I thought it was pretty important. Well, here's the same thing. Mary and Martha, Martha doing all the work, Mary doing her thing. She's just hanging out at the feet of Jesus. And that's what we talked about a few minutes ago. Every time we see Mary, that's what she's doing, you know. She's just hanging out. She's sitting around. She's digging what God has to say to her. She's putting it into her heart and really listening and hanging on every word that Jesus has to say. Now, what Martha was doing was not, it wasn't bad. It wasn't a bad thing. I mean, things got to be done. They must be done. The chores, if you don't vacuum your house, pretty soon all your carpet gets all matted over, greasy, and you can't stand it up. If you never wash the dishes, pretty soon you won't have any dishes to eat out of. You know, if you don't clean things, I mean, so there's a time and a place for everything. And Martha, every time we see Martha, she's always in that doing mode. She went... After the death of her brother, she went out. I mean, Mary was there with the weepers and the mourners and stuff like that. And Martha jumps up and takes off. She's walking. She has to do something. You know, she's always in the go, go, go mode. She's always worried and she's troubled. And see, Jesus sees right to the point in this next verse. And it's the very point of where we want to talk about today. Jesus says to Mary, to Martha, in 41, and Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and you're troubled about many things." How often do we get caught up, tied up, being worried about many things? You know, what does Jesus talk about being worried or overconsumed with the worries and the distractions of this life? We're going to look at that. Keep your finger here because we're coming back. But flip over to Luke chapter 12. And we're going to read something that Jesus was talking about concerning this very single matter right here. And Luke chapter 12 and verse 22. And it's actually titled or subtitled, "Don't Worry." Excuse me. And then he, Jesus, said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you'll put on it. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing." So the temporal things of this life aren't worth worrying about. I mean, if you're seeking first the kingdom of God, which it talks about a little bit further into this piece of scripture right here, if you seek first the kingdom of God, God says that I'm going to take care of those things. I'll take care of all of the needs that you need. I'm going to take care of clothing you. I'm going to take care of feeding you. If you're seeking God first and foremost, He's going to take care of all the small things, all the things that we concern ourselves with here in America. I mean, we are a worrying bunch of people. I mean, you look at the news, what do you see? You said nothing but to worry about. Things that we're worrying about. Jesus talked about in the last days that there would be wars and rumors of wars. And he said, these are just the beginning of the problems. Don't sweat it. Don't worry about these things. What is the main thing that Jesus tells us to be concerned about? Nothing of the Antichrist or the troubles in the Gulf or Israel being surrounded or falling apart. He doesn't tell us to worry about it. He says, seek ye first the kingdom. What are we to be worried about? What are we supposed to be really putting all of our hope, all of our aspirations, all of our dreams in? It's in the Word of God, seeking His will first, seeking what He's doing. And if we can see what Jesus is doing, then we can adjust our lives and follow Him to wherever He brings us. If we're so consumed with the things of this world that we can't see Jesus Christ at work around us, then we're way too consumed with the things of the world. You know, we're too boxed in. We've boxed ourselves into this spot, and we get to thinking, if this doesn't get done, then God won't come. Well, God, if that gets done or not. Now, He desires to work through human beings. He wants to work through you. He wants to work through me. He wants to work through us all. Accomplish His word, His earth, to make sure that the word gets out. Martha, she was distracted. She wasn't doing anything wrong. There was nothing wrong with what she was doing, but she was distracted away from the main point of what needed to be done. She wasn't seeking first the kingdom. She was seeking first the dirty dishes. You know, she wasn't seeking first, you know, her relationship with Jesus Christ, sitting there just enjoying God, enjoying His presence, enjoying His word, and just taking Him in, building a love relationship. She wasn't too into that at this point that we see it. It happens later after His death and resurrection. She comes around, back around to it. But right here at this point, she's distracted. Jesus says, you're distracted. You're troubled about many things. You're over-concerned about things that you really can't help, things that are going on. You know, I don't think Jesus really would care if the table wasn't set just right. You know, would He really care if all those little bitty, if the salt shaker was in the right place? You know, that's not a major concern of His. What was He more concerned with what Mary was desiring to do? Mary was desiring to relax, to come to that place of a love relationship with Him. Now, there was work that needed to be done. You know, no doubt there it was. But what was the most important thing? The next verse that it talks about back in the back is that where Jesus is talking to Martha about Mary. He says, I won't deny her this thing. She's chosen the better. And that's to sit at the feet of Jesus, to enter into that relationship that He's desiring to have with us. Now, when I was going over this, man, I was struggling with it because if you don't have any workers, then nothing really gets done, right? Because, yeah, don't get me wrong, hanging out and being chilling with Jesus is cool, it's great, but there is a time that you must put your hand to the plow. You know, that you must get out and you got to do things. You got to, well, that's one of the commandments, right? One of the effects of the curse. God told Adam, you're going to earn a living by the sweat of your brow. So there's work, there's labor. And even in the creation of Adam, God created a garden and He made a man to till the land. All right, Adam, to start, I mean, bam, you got a job to do. And you got to do that job. But there is a time that we need to sit back, take a deep breath, and just consume the Lord, to consume Him, to breathe deep into the thoughts of God, to breathe in deep into prayer, to get into a place of worship, of reverence to God. And that's more important than making sure of anything else is done, making sure that if God has asked you to pray and you would rather vacuum, you got a problem. Okay. Or for me, if God has asked me to come here early in the morning and do some stuff, but I get carried away doing this stuff and not doing the things that God has told me to, then I've skipped the relationship and got right into the work. I do that so much in my own personal life. God wakes me up in the morning sometime. He says, Curtis, dude, I really want to spend some time with you. I want you to pray with me right now. Man, what do? I jump up and I pray as I brush my teeth. Oh, Lord, blah, 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 you know, and so you're praying, you're scrubbing your teeth. And then by the time you get out of the bathroom, you know, it's gone. The moment's gone. The desire to get into the Word of God is gone. You get distracted. Well, before I pray, God, I've got to run out to my truck and I got to make sure I got the right tools and stuff in there for the job that I'm going to do today. Well, that's a real thing. I mean, we got to take care of that kind of stuff, no doubt. But what did God ask me to do first thing in the morning? First thing God asked me to do before I brush my teeth, before I do much of anything. I mean, there are some things you got to do first thing in the morning that you can't put off. You know, we all know that. But outside of that, getting into a quiet place, getting into a place where you're sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ and really and truly entering into that relationship that he wants you to have with him is first and foremost, as we see it. Jesus here is talking again, and he says about the folks who worry about stuff. He says, consider the ravens. They neither sow nor do they reap. They have neither storehouses nor barns, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds or the fowls of the air? Do you believe God loves you enough to tend to your needs? Okay. Now, he's not saying don't go to work and earn a living, but he is saying everything in moderation. Now, if we're over-concerned about making a living, going and jumping into the daily grind and getting into the rat race and just beating your head against the wall, go, 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 how much time do we have left to really worship God? All right, break it down. Everybody has 24 hours, right? I mean, you wake up, there's 24 hours from the time you wake up till the next time you wake up. So out of those 24 hours, how much time, and be honest with yourself, how much of that time do you spend really sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ? And if you really boil it down and you figure it out and all right, you wake up and there's so many hours to get ready. There's so many hours of work. Then there's lunchtime and there's more work and you come home and you prepare stuff at the house and you get busy doing stuff like that. And then before you know it, it's time to watch Glenn Beck. And so you watch Glenn Beck and you still haven't worshiped God any during the day. And then after Glenn Beck, there's Hannity or whatever. I don't know. You name your Desperate Housewives. I don't know what you watch, but there's something else in your life besides Jesus Christ. Okay. And as you're being so consumed in other things, you've neglected, or I've neglected, the most important thing, which was that relationship with God that he asked me to do first thing in the morning. He asked me, he woke me up first thing in the morning, Curtis, I want you to open your Bible before you turn on your computer. Okay, I want you to open your Bible before you step out in the garage and you start sorting out your tools, what you're going to do today. I want you to take some time to be with me because I love you. Not because you owe it to me, but just simply because I love you. And because I love you, I've given you an opportunity to have a relationship with me. And you're just thumbing your nose up at this. So, Curtis, do you love me? Why are you concerned about so many things that doesn't matter? And he talks about the birds of the air. He says, my first sermon that I preached here was have faith like a sparrow. To have faith like a sparrow, to wake up in the morning and say, all right, God, I don't know what the day holds out for me, but I do know that you hold out something special for me. And if I'll seek you first, then you'll feed me with the things that I need to have to live. And so that was the first sermon that I preached here. And so God's brought me back around in just a few months to come back to this same place. He says, consider the birds of the air. They don't reap. They don't sow. They don't store up in barns, but God cares for them and he feeds them. He says in the next verse there, which of you by worrying, being concerned about other things, can add one cubit or one inch, a quarter inch to your height? Can worry do, what profit does worrying and be overly concerned about the stuff of the world? What good is that for you? And if you've been doing it for your whole life, then let me ask you this. How's that working out for you? How is that? How's it working out for you? Are you, by worrying, being over-concerned by things that are going to just perish. He talks a little bit about the grass of the fields and how they're thrown into the furnace here in the next couple of verses. Being concerned about the things of the world that are just going to be burned up. Was it worth losing that relationship that God has offered to us, or that chance to have that deep-seated love and consideration for God? Being so caught up in the world system, the rat race is what I call it, and I do, man. I get caught up in that rat race so often. I'm so often distracted from what God's called me to do. And a couple weeks ago, you know, I still work for a living. You know, I probably will the rest of my days. And that's cool. But I got so caught up into making sure that my jobs were being done, I didn't do any prayer and I did very little Bible study. And y'all remember the week. I mean, it was a very tough week for me, you know, to try to get up and speak. And I hadn't done the right prayer. I hadn't done the right Bible study. And so that week, I'm sure if you found it on the CD things, or now we're actually online, right? Or yeah, now we're on sermonaudio.com. And so if you go back and listen to it, I bet you could pick it out. You know, wow, that guy wasn't praying. You know, that guy wasn't reading his Bible. You know, sure, did he talk for an hour? Yeah, but what did he say? Not a whole bunch. I was too worried about the things of the world and not worried about enough of what God was wanting me to do, which was just sit down and relax and be part of Him, to breathe in the Lord, to love Him the way that He has. If you're not able to do the least of these, why are you anxious for all the rest? See, Martha, that was her problem. She was anxious for a lot of stuff. She was desiring to do a lot of things, but she wasn't concerned about the most important things. You're not able to do any of these things. You can't stretch yourself by worrying. Okay, God cares for lesser creatures than what you are. And so, in 26, if you are not able to do the least of these, why are you so anxious for the rest? And then he talks about the lilies of the field. Okay, and God so clothes the grass. In 28. He says in 29 right here, I guess this is a great place to pick this up. Why do you seek for what you shall eat and what you should drink, nor have anxiety in your mind? For all these things the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knows the things that you have need of, or the things that you need. What do we think that we need that we really don't need? I mean, really and truly, if you was to take your life and boil it down to a nut's edge, that's a southern thing. A lot of folks don't understand it. If you were to boil it down to the finest, minute, most, what is it when it's fractions, the least common denominator, right? When you boil it down to the least of things, what is it that you truly need? What are you willing to give your life for? Are you willing to give your life for your clothes or your sneakers or how much money you make, the job you have? Are you willing to give your life for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you willing to give time? Because God's not asking you to jump out in front of a truck for Him. You know, that's not what He's saying. But He does, remember back, way back in Genesis, God used to come in the garden in the cool of the evening, and He would have communion with Adam and Eve. He would come there and He would chill with them. And I picture them as Southern people, you know, they'd sit on the front porch in a rocking chair and drink iced tea, you know, and talk about hound dogs and, you know, the things of the garden and the creatures of the night and stuff like that. God wanted to have that love relationship, that realness with people. He wanted to go beyond the distractions, to go beyond the work and enter into a place of real peace, a place of real joy, a place of real charity, a place where God would implant His vision of life into you. Now, what's God's vision of life? Well, let's look at Jesus personally. What did He have? He didn't even have enough money to pay the temple tax, right? I mean, He had like no cash. When He was confronted with the temple tax, He said, "Peter, go fishing. And the first fish you catch, then you'll have enough money to pay the taxes." Okay, and there's another time that Jesus said that foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. Okay, He didn't even have a home. He had no home. Of course, I understand He lived in Israel, so it was a lot warmer there. You know, there's desert, so He didn't really need a lot. You know, He didn't live in Rochester where it's freezing 10 months out of the year. But, you know, anyhow, maybe not that bad. what Therese told me. It just rung true to me. There's a lady she talked to or emailed her, and she is, if you don't like Rochester, you might as well leave. There's a whole bunch of, that went to it, but stop whining about the weather. You live here, and God makes the seasons, and you ought to enjoy them and stuff like that. And we should. And so jump back off of that. Why are we worried about things of the flesh? We're worried about things of this world, things that will pass away. When you die, there will be nothing left of the stuff you worked for. Your car stays here, right? Your house stays here. All of your clothes stay here. Even the clothes that you're buried in, they stay here. You know, everything stays here. The only thing that leaves is the true you, the essence of who you are. Is your soul, your spirit leaves. And it either goes to Jesus or it goes to cast out to be in utter darkness or hell. A place where God is not. And those are things that we choose for ourselves, where we're going to go and where we're not going to go. Desiring Jesus Christ first. What's better, obedience or sacrifice? Obedience or sacrifice? Obeying the Word of God or just making sacrifices? And Samuel, 1 Samuel 15 and 22, God says that to obey is better than to sacrifice. Just simply obeying the Word of God, knowing what the Word of God says and making the adjustments to your life to what He says is better than sacrifice. Now, to bring that to our day and time, to bring that to Mary and Martha, what was better, obeying Jesus Christ by sitting in a love relationship with Him or being sacrificial, doing a lot of stuff? I mean, the stuff really didn't matter. Jesus never cared about the stuff. What He cared about was the spiritual being of whoever He touched. Well, even whether He touched them or not, He cared about their love relationship with Him. All right, to bring this all the way back around and come back to where we need to be. Jesus said, we say, like Martha. Martha was saying, don't just sit there, get up and do something. All right, I believe that Jesus says and God says throughout all scriptures, don't just do something, stand there. Don't just get busy. Don't just run around like a chicken with your head cut off trying to take care of stuff. But take a deep breath. Stand there and see that I am God. Stand and know that He is God. See, how can God have that free rein in our life to do stuff if we're so busy that we won't slow down and listen to what He says? If we're so busy just doing, 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 and we're not spending any time entering into that love relationship with Jesus, how is He being glorified in our lives? You know, so slowing down, entering into that love relationship. Don't just do something. Stand there. We enter into the love relationship with Him. Get to know Him. And you say, well, how can you get to know Jesus? Well, He left His book. He left His legacy for us. You know, if we'll open the Bible day to day, read it. And read it with the intensity that you really believe it. That, and then make the adjustments in your life to what the Word of God says. Then you'll start to see more and more of His glory and more of our selfishness. As we see Him high and lifted up, He's drawn all folks. John the Baptizer said, I've got to decrease so that He can increase. The things that I'm wanting outside of the will, outside of the realm of God, outside of His love, outside of that relationship, it's a waste of time for me. You know, it's a waste of time. We only have so many hours in a day, right? 24, give or take, depending if it's, you know, you jump ahead or you fall behind. What is that? That weird thing we do with the time twice a year. Daylight savings time or winter losing time. I don't know what it is. Either way, you know, the time stays the same. You know, you have so many hours in a day to accomplish the things that need to be accomplished. And if we start accomplishing the things that we think need to be accomplished and not enter into that relationship, then we've really wasted all of our day. Everything that we've done, yeah, we may have accomplished some stuff. I mean, we got the We got the lawn mowed. We got the clothes washed. We got the walls built. We got this done. We got that done. We did all this stuff. But we never entered in. We never calmed down. We never sat for a moment at the feet of Jesus. And if we're not sitting at the feet of Jesus, then what good is it? What good is any of it? If you're not taking a little bit of time in enjoying Jesus Christ, then have we done anything at all? Back up in Luke chapter 10 and verse 42. Jesus says this one thing. This one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which I will not take away from her. Now, I'm not saying that Martha did anything wrong. She didn't. She really didn't. She didn't do anything wrong with taking care of stuff. But was that the most important thing? Jesus said, what Mary chose, I'm not taking it away from her. She chose to enter into a relationship. Where was she at? She was at the feet of Jesus Christ. She was chilling with the Master. You know, she spent some time. She took a deep breath. She sat there. She just sucked in God. She sucked in His Word. And when she was... Mary wasn't concerned about nothing else when she was in the presence of Jesus Christ. She wasn't concerned about all the stuff of the world when she was consumed with Jesus Christ. When Peter stepped out of the boat in faith, right? We remember the story. Jesus told him cross after this point right here. Jesus said, go across and I'll meet you on the other side. And then in the middle of the night, there's this great storm and Jesus comes walking on the waves and they all thought it was a ghost. And Peter said, no, it's the Lord. Or John said, no, it's the Lord. And Peter said, if it is you, Lord, then allow me to come to you. And so Peter stepped out of the boat in faith and he was walking on the water in the middle of this storm. Until he took his eyes off of Jesus Christ and he started looking on at what was going on around him. And then worry set in, trouble. Peter was very troubled because he was outside of the boat and he was surrounded by these huge waves and thunder and lightning and all the mess that was going on around him. He took his eyes off of the goal and he got consumed with the mess that was going on around him. And when he did, he lost the footing of faith and sank. And as he was sinking in the water, he didn't have a long time to say this big, super, very religious prayer. He just simply cried out, save me, help me, Jesus. And at that point in time, Jesus was there and took him by the hand and pulled him out and said, oh, you of little faith. You know, why, if you wouldn't have taken your eye off of me, then you wouldn't have been affected by the storms of life. We get sucked into so much stuff. We get sucked in. Not that I'm against electrical things, but people talk with their thumbs nowadays. You know, texting. All right. They do the texting thing. And they're zipping back. And blah, 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 but they never enter into a relationship with real people. Facebook. Ooh, I have 750 million friends on Facebook. Well, wait a second. Are they really your friends or are they just people that you text back and forth to? If you're sick and you need a cup of soup, will any of those folks really bring you a cup of soup? Will they tend to you? Will they tend to your hurt? Will they tend to your need? James wrote, I will show you my religion by my works. I'll show you my relationship with Jesus Christ by what I do. Okay, you show me your religion without your works. I'll show you my religion with what I do. I think it was Thomas Jefferson said, I will never judge a religion by the man, but I will judge the man. No, it's the other way around. I'll never judge a man because of his religion, but I will judge that religion because of the man. Okay? If you're a Christian, and I mean, you're really a Christian. You're sold out for Jesus Christ. And you're so consumed with the world that you're of no heavenly good. People will judge you because of that. They'll look at you and say, man, I don't want what that person has. Because he's not showing me anything that's of great worth. Is he busy? Yeah, that dude, he's busy all the time. He's always doing something. But how about his real life? Is he stealing from his boss? Is he not loving his wife the way he needs to? People are observing us and everything we say and do. You know, so when the world looks at us, are they seeing Martha or are they seeing Mary? Are they seeing someone that has really poured their heart and their life into this Lord that we worship? Or are they seeing somebody who just comes to church on Sunday or Wednesday and never really, they're very busy, but they're not into the relationship that God has offered them. If we don't ever enter into the relationship, then what good is all the work that you do? It's of no good. It's of no account. It won't last through the storms of life. Jesus asks us, or he actually tells Martha right here, one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen it. So what was Mary doing? And she had a sister named Mary who sat at the feet of Jesus and she heard his words. I don't know if you can say any more to it than that. What is the one thing that was best? Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and she heard his words. She took in what he was saying. She listened to him and she entered into that love relationship, that rest. There'll be wars and rumors of wars, and kids will be disobedient to parents, and there'll be a great following away. You look at all these things that are happening now before our eyes, and we get so distracted so easy. Texting is one thing, not entering into a real relationship with anybody. Really helping somebody. You know, really and truly helping somebody. Getting to know your neighbor and to let your neighbor know that God loves them is more important than anything else. Coming along beside somebody and discipling them in the Word of God. Discipling them. Jesus said, he gave us that commandment, go into all the world making disciples, preaching Jesus Christ, baptizing them in the name, teaching them the Word. Are we making any disciples? Do we spend enough time at the feet of Jesus Christ, consuming His Word, consuming what he's talking about, loving him for who he is, that we would be able to disciple anybody else? If you don't spend time with the Master, then you won't have anything to give. You won't have anything to pour back into a lost to your neighbor. You won't have any real answers for him. When this mess happened over in Japan, and a lot of folks, what's still happening? A lot of folks ask, well, where was God in the middle of all that? Well, he was there. He was there. He was in that wave. He was in the wave when the people were drowning. He was taking folks who believed in him as their Lord and Savior home. You know, he was weeping for the folks who didn't know him as Lord and Savior as he had to turn his back on them. You know, he was there. He was in the middle of it. He was ministering. He was giving people a last chance as that wave was ripping through their nation, as houses were being crumbled. How can we, as Charity Bible, how can we, as this group of believers right here, step outside of who we think we are? All right? Who we think we are. Let's take our own thoughts, our conception of who we think we are, our pride, our love of the world, our love of life, and kind of push it out to the side a little bit. Let's start meeting people The weather's going to break soon. We're going to be meeting people right out here in the parking lot. There's going to be folks walking by. We've got to be able to love those people in the middle of their mess, just like Jesus did. And unless we have spent time at the feet of Jesus Christ, reading, studying, praying, adjusting our lives to His Word, and then following Him and what He does, then we won't be prepared for the things that we need to do. So I guess this is what all this that I've said all this morning is. I was wanting to take my Tonka bulldozer, right, and set it on the foundation of religion and start pushing all that crap off the foundation. Okay, all that stuff, all the things that don't matter, and push it away. All of the work, all of the stuff that takes our focus off of the things that really and truly matter, our love relationship with Jesus Christ, the things that really matter in this world, focus on that, which is being at the feet of Jesus. One thing we need, one thing, and Mary chose the better, and that was to be in the presence of Jesus Christ instead of being so busy in the things of the world. Now, do things need to be done? I've said this 100 times. Yes. We got bills to pay. We got to go to work. Okay? We got things that need to be done. But if we don't spend that time at Jesus' feet, can we actually do anything for the glory of God? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think that we get so caught up in the world and the things, so concerned about the things of the world, that we really don't enter in to what God is asking us to do. Entering into Him. You know, we're adopted, we're grafted into the promises. And Jesus is asking us, don't worry about the world. Don't worry about these things. I mean, sure, go to work, do your 40 hours, do whatever you got to pay your bills. Okay, God gave you those jobs, okay, and they're good things to have. Wash your dishes. I ain't saying don't wash your dishes. But I am saying carve out some time in your day. Carve out some time, somehow, some way, carve out a place in your day that belongs to God. To meet Him there every day. Whether it's, I don't know, it's going to be different for each and every one of us. Some of us are able to get up in the morning and do this. Some of us aren't able to get things quiet until in the evening, you know, until after the kids are gone to bed. And after all the good stuff is off TV, which starts at when the TV's turned on, there's no good stuff until it's turned off. Okay. So whatever your focus is that's pulling you away from entering in to sitting down, to resting in Jesus, I'm asking us to take our little Tonka truck bulldozer and set it on the foundation there and scrape all that stuff off. Get back to the one thing that's really needed. The one thing, and that's what Mary was doing, the one thing that's really needed is to sit at the feet of Jesus Christ, to consume His words, to pray, to pour your life out into another person that's not as fortunate as you are. If we're not doing those things, then we're doing nothing. You know, although we may be busy. I mean, we're busy people in America. We are busy. You know, why haven't I called you? I'm too busy. Why haven't I visited you? I'm too busy. Why didn't I care for you? I'm too busy. Well, that means the whole universe is circling around Curtis. You know, I'm too busy to reach outside of my comfort zone and to meet you and to love you. And Jesus is saying that's wrong. You know, what Jesus says is calm down. Sit on your front porch for a little while. Get you a glass of tea, a little squirt of lemon in it, you know, and get you a rocking chair. Take a deep breath. Rest. Grab your Bible. Consume the Word of God. Allow that word to teach you what's right, what's wrong, what's most important, what's not most important. To obey is better than sacrifice. A time will come for the sacrifice, there's no doubt. There's a time. There is a time not long from here that Jesus set His jaw like flint to Jerusalem. Okay, and we're going to be looking at that here in the next couple of weeks. Jesus turns his head. He says, my job, what I must do, the hard thing for me to do is coming up. And I got to go to Jerusalem, no matter how many of you guys tell me I ought not go because I'm going to die. He set his jaw like flint. It could not be moved. And he had to do it. Jesus has a job for us to do. But if we don't enter into the first thing, sitting at the feet of Jesus, consuming his word, allowing his word to do that work in our life that needs to be done, then we'll never be able to graduate and go to the next thing that God wants us to do. Can we reach a lost and dying world without entering into a love relationship with Jesus Christ? It's been tried. Those folks have failed. It's been tried right here in this town. You know, work, do. And yeah, there's some really nice buildings here. Okay. But is there anybody here that's reaching out with the love of Jesus Christ? Not unless you're sitting at the feet of God first. And so, you know, I've talked for my hour. I guess what I want to ask you to do is Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be taken care of. Now, what he's talking about, those things is food, clothing, shelter, and there's a whole bunch of other things that he's speaking of. But seek first the kingdom of God. That means sit at the feet of Jesus for a while, a little bit every day. You know, I know it's hard. I know that we have pressing schedules, demanding things that got to be done, or we think that we got to do them. Because if we don't do them, the whole world's going to come to an end. I had that with a customer not long ago. You must be over here at such and such time. I said, well, wait, what if I'm not? You know, what? Is your house going to collapse? I mean, why? I mean, I'll be there, but it's not that important. Calm down. You know, chill out. I'll be there. I'm going to spend some time reading the Word first. People don't understand that. But God will honor you if you take time to sit with Him. He's always prepared a place for you. He said, I've prepared a table for you in the presence of mine enemies. But how do you get to the table? You can't get to the table unless you come to the feet. So you come to the feet and you rest in Jesus Christ. Take a deep breath. A little bit of scripture it's Jesus said, these things will pass. This too will pass. All right, just hold on to that. You know, all the other stuff, the busy things in life, it's going to go. There's always enough work tomorrow. You know, carve out a portion of your day. Take a portion of your day and turn off all of the electronical goobla that we have. Turn off your radios, your TVs, your iPhones, your, what's that game thing that they do? PlayStation, huh? Wheaties? Wii. Yeah, Wii. Yeah, turn off your Wii, whatever it is that you're doing. And spend that time at the feet of Jesus Christ every day. Just a little bit of time. If you'll do it a little bit, God will bless you immensely. So if there's one thing that I was going to ask you to do today is that if this message has touched you in some way and you know for a fact that you need to make those adjustments in your life, I'm going to ask you to pull out your cell phone because it has a calendar on it. And if you know how to program your calendar, sit down on your day, on your day planner, right, and say, today at 6:45 in the morning or 5:30 in the morning or 6:45 in the evening, I'm going to not put anything in that spot. That spot's for me and Jesus. And make that a priority in your life. And if you'll do that, God will speak to you. He'll minister to you and he'll mold you into the shape of himself. And so, I guess that's all I got to say about that. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we love you. Lord, I pray that today you've spoken to us and you've allowed us to make those adjustments in our life that is going to be honoring to you. Father, I pray for these folks that are here that heard the word today, that they would believe it with a fervency, with a desire to enter into your love, to enter into that relationship first and foremost in their life, before they do anything else, before anything else is of great need, that they would see you and adjust their lives to you. Father, I pray that prayer first, starting with me, Lord, not them, but with me, Lord, that I would, before anything else has started in my day, that I would set apart a time to sit at your feet, to consume you, to take in your word, and then adjust my life to what it says. Father, we love you, we praise you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.